Right now, I'm going to bring to the microphone David James. David is associated with us in the School of Prophets. David is one of our teachers. He's going to be teaching God's plan through the ages in our upcoming conference at Shreveport, Louisiana, there at the Louisiana Baptist University campus. We're in partnership with Louisiana Baptist University, with our School of Prophets, and also with the conference that's coming up. That would be February the 24th to the 28th. You can go to my website, prophecytoday.com, and get more information about that. David also travels around the world teaching God's Word. And I've asked David to kind of focus on the world and what's happening and keep us abreast of movements that are in the wind that may be contradictory to God's Word. Do some research on it, bring it to the table, and we'll have a discussion on these particular activities. That's what we want to do right now. We want to talk about the Hebrew Roots Movement. David, a lot of churches are talking about getting back to first century Christianity. And one of the things that seems to be gaining traction is this Hebrew Roots Movement. What is the Hebrew Roots Movement all about?
Well, hi, Jimmy. Good to be with you. The Hebrew Roots Movement, as you mentioned, is a focus by some to get back to what they believe is first century Christianity, which I don't believe it is, but they focus on adopting a Jewish lifestyle, but also adopting a Jewish perspective concerning keeping the law as a means to spirituality and a means of following Jesus, or as they would call him, Yeshua.
Very interesting. They want just actually to try to become, it seems to me, Jewish people once again. And maybe that's not the case. We'll get more into it as I talk to you. For a long time now, David, I've been focusing a lot on the Messianic Judaism that is prevalent, especially in Israel, where I started a church that's not involved in Messianic Judaism. But across America, is this the same thing as this Hebrew Roots Movement?
Well, sometimes they're used interchangeably, depending on who you read and who you listen to. But those within the Messianic Judaism, within Messianic Judaism, would tend to see themselves as distinct, and I would see there being a distinction as well. In that, the Hebrew Roots Movement as a whole tends to give a lot of emphasis to both Jews and Gentile believers in Christ living according to the law, and specifically the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, and also keeping the Jewish feasts as a matter of requirement. And some would say that you have to keep the dietary laws of the law as well. Whereas the Messianic Judaism sees these things as more as optional, that the keeping the Hebrew feasts is a way as a memorial or looking forward to what Jesus will do and what he has done. But I think there are also some concerns within Messianic Judaism as well.
Well, now I want to ask you if you think that the HRM, the Hebrew Roots Movement, is biblical. But first, let me pose this question. Many people say, well, wait a minute, Jesus was an observant Jew, and the first Christians were Jews who came to know Christ. So is it important and is it helpful to get back to our Hebrew roots of Christianity? But that has to be answered with the first statement I made. Is this movement biblical?
Well, that's a very interesting question. And, you know, the issue is, for one, we hold to a literal, grammatical, historical hermeneutic, which means that we want to understand all of the scriptures in their context, which means for the Old Testament, in their Jewish context, as well as the Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament, because that is before the church was established. It is before Jesus went to the cross. So, of course, Jesus was an observant Jew, as were the apostles prior to the day of Pentecost when the church was established, because Jesus had not fulfilled the law yet. So in that sense, yes, he was an observant Jew. However, the interesting thing is, as you look at the New Testament including the Book of Acts, and then all of the letters to the churches, I would have to say there really is no Jewish worship flavor or sense to what is obligated either ethnically Jewish believers in Christ or ethnically Gentile believers in Christ. Those things just aren't there. And you have Paul, who was one of the best teachers of the law in Israel, one of the most foremost, and yet in his writings to the believers, including all of the churches whose first members were Jewish converts, he never says anything about keeping the Jewish feasts or observing the law as a means of spirituality. In fact, he tends to argue exactly the opposite.
Well, then answer the question with one word. Is this Hebrew roots movement biblical or not?
I would say no.
Well, then what about the argument that these types of movements, especially the Hebrew roots movement, are helpful in reaching Jews to bring them to Christ because of the Jewishness of the church, in particular the worship? Now, you mentioned that just a moment ago, but what do you think about that approach and that argument?
Well, that's probably one of the most interesting aspects of this whole thing. And as you study both Messianic Judaism and especially the Hebrew Roots movement in particular, what you find is that the majority of the people in these congregations are not Jewish converts. Some have suggested they're up to 95% Gentile converts who are seeking to live like Jews and to worship like Jews. Not so much live like Jews in the Messianic congregations, but certainly worship like Jews. And so, actually, the idea that these are strong tools for reaching Jews for Christ just doesn't bear out in practice.
Yeah, and if they're going to be doing the same thing in these worship activities as they do in the synagogue, why is a Jew going to recognize the difference? I remember Paul writing in Romans chapter 11, I think it's verse 16, he said, I let the Gentile come to know Christ as Lord and Savior to provoke the Jew to want to know more about it and receive Christ. So these Gentiles are actually going against Paul's writings, are they not?
Yes, I would think so. And you look at the decisions by the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15, it's clear that the decision of the Jewish converts who were leaders of the church in Jerusalem around 50 AD, they were saying that Gentiles have no obligation whatsoever to observing the law.
That is very, very interesting. I've been concerned about the fact they call their pastors rabbi. The rabbi will wear a prayer shawl with 613 knots on it, representing the mitzvahs or the law of the Old Testament. And so they're getting under the law and not under grace. But let me just conclude with this thought. Some of the criticism when you go after these movements is that we are anti-Semitic. What do you think about that?
Well, to be honest, I think it's probably one of the most absurd charges. We as dispensationalists who would understand that God still has a plan and program for national Israel and the Jewish people in the future, we have been the strongest supporters of both the nation of Israel and as defenders of the Jewish people and Jews individually. Our greatest desire is to see them come to faith in Christ, and we fully understand that the whole world during the reign of Christ on the earth for 1,000 years in the millennium, the whole world will stream to Jerusalem, and the center of the world government will be the Jewish temple where Jesus is seated on the throne of David.
Wow, that surely does go after the idea that we who will look at these events unfolding, these movements, the Hebrew Roots movement, as a non-biblical approach to Christianity, that we're anti-Semitic. Well, God's word is absolute. We do look forward to God's plan for the Jewish people in the future, and that's an absolute from God's word. David, this is a very important report that you brought to our attention. And I'm going to challenge you to keep looking out there, finding those things we need to discuss here on the broadcast so that the body of Christ can understand really what is happening in our world today and how we need to stay true to what God's Word says. Thank you, David. Appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
You're so welcome.